Hello, and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Rav Michael Lightman. Hello, Rav Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitza Mazoz. Hello. We'd like to invite you to be with us. Today we're going to talk about a war, an ideological war, the war between ideologies, the war between us and our neighbors. Very hard war, harsh war. Nitza, please. Today, we'd maybe like to start with a story that brought up many questions. It's a very well-known story that happened with a Palestinian prisoner that decided that he is going on hunger strike. He had no problem to lose his eyesight, his hearing, his life, everything, but not to surrender to us, to the, so to speak, Jewish spirit, but to keep the ideology of the Islam, of the jihad. And I have to say that when I watched him coming back to the territories, the place from where he came, his home, he is accepted, welcomed as a hero among his family, among his, in his village. And I looked at him, and I even had a kind of like a, I don't know, an envy over what? For the force, for that something that's so strong inside him that he's willing to give up his life for this very strong ideology. And it brought up many questions. And maybe as a first question, what is this so powerful, radical, ideological force that it is at the basis of the jihad, of the Islam, that it is so powerful and gives so much strength to its activists? This is something very deep. It's very broad, that is expanding and already has a history of about 4,000 years. It's from the days of Abraham and his first son, Ishmael, and up till our times, and throughout the width of historical timeline. And it's also a very deep matter because it touches the internality of the laws of nature and the operation of the whole of reality. And therefore, it's impossible to call it an ideological war as if it's something that's going on now, like they want to say, like the Arabs want to say that it started when we came here, when we came back to the land of Israel. According to their ideology, it's Palestine. And so, you can't say that it started just now. First of all, they understand that they, in order to hold on to this land and to be counter to us, they need deep roots. And therefore, they tie themselves to the people that as if is already existing for 7,000 years in this area, in this region, even though that it's known by historians and by everyone that this is not how things are, that they came from Afghanistan, from that area, all in all, not long ago, that the Mamluks came and afterwards came here. And the way it was in the days of Abraham, it was only the beginning of the nation, which later on developed and became the people who they are and has nothing actually to do with this area. They didn't start here, they didn't live here, and neither Ishmael nor his successors. But that's how it is. And also with respect to Al-Aqsa, they want to say that this is their holy place because that's where the temple was, and then they built something of their own. And this is how they build everywhere. The same with the tomb of Joseph as if Joseph is their saint, and Abraham's theirs, and Isaac, and Jacob, and the mothers, and everything. It all belongs to them. They immediately color it green, and immediately belongs to them. So, and that's how it is with all the prophets. They respect all these great people. They consider that they belong to them. And like they took our Torah and made the Quran out of it, or the Christians made the New Testament out of it, and so on, and all the rest of the books. Meaning the ideology is very clear, that we are holding on to the source, and they get from us what does it mean, what is holy, what is not, what is secular, what are the holidays, what are the weekdays, and it was all taken from us and adapted, changed into something that it as if belongs to them. Therefore, the free day, the holy day during the days of the week, whether it's Friday or Saturday, and that's how it is with the holidays that Islam and Christianity got from us. And up till a few years ago, no one talked about it. It was very clear. But now their tendency is, first of all, to prove to themselves. The whole world knows that it's not so. But even though that a lie, when it spreads and becomes a big lie, it's accepted. This is how people are built. Yeah, they start believing it. Yeah. And first of all, it's their inner need to strengthen the people. The people meaning all the Arabs, it's not one people, but to give all of them a big basis that they are the most ancient people, strongest. They have, it was so dictated to them by the upper force that they have to conquer the whole world by Islam. And they took it from us, actually, because it says so. All shall know me from small to great in Judaism. My home will be the home of prayer to all people, and the land of Israel will extend to the entire world. Meaning they took all these things from us and made it their ideology. And therefore, any place they find something that historically belongs to us, they immediately take it to the Islam. They annex it to the Islam. And wherever they find more and more proof, it all belongs to Islam. And on the place of the Al-Aqsa, there was never a Jewish temple. It was a temple, yes, but it was a Muslim temple. And now there's the Al-Aqsa standing there, that it got a kind of a renovation. And there were always wars and everything, and it was always theirs. And we know that this people is a very both knowing how to explain lies to themselves and to others, and tend to believe these lies and to accept it easily. They have this kind of a tendency that they believe in what they themselves invent. And we think that they're living a lie. Well, they're not living a lie. They believe it. Yeah, they immediately accept it as a fact. And therefore, this is how they see it. And what's interesting is that I'm sure that in Europe, they'll do the very same now. They'll do the same. They'll say that all these Christian holy places are our places, and that it doesn't belong to Jesus, that Jesus was Arab. It's like all of our saints, Moses and Aaron and Moshe, David, they were all Arabs. They say that Jesus was an Arab, Muslim, really a Muslim. And that's how everyone was. And everything that the world thinks is untrue. It's all Islam. And there's nothing else about it. So there's no ideological war going on here. They're not fighting anyone, as if. They're simply explaining to everyone what is the truth and what is just. What is it, a war of explanation? Yes. They come and they say, what are you talking about? This is all ours. The saints, they're ours. The holy places are ours. Look, we're protecting it all. We're not breaking anything. The Joseph tomb in Shechem or the
Me'arat HaMachpelah.
It's ours. They are our holy forefathers and the mothers and the Kever Rachel, where Rachel is buried, and you came 2,000 years after, and you're saying that this is yours? No way. We always respected these places because they're ours. Only you see that this is Joseph's burial place of his burial, but it's colored green, it's ours. And that's how it is with everything. And they don't have the same with Meron and other places. They truly appreciate the holy people that the Jews think that the Jews as if think that it belongs to them, but actually they're sure that it belongs to them. Like they say about the Christians, Jesus, he's an Arab, Muslim. And that's how it is with everything. Meaning that we see a very special twist here that wasn't that obvious earlier. That they have a new kind of development towards the fact that they want to rule the world. Where this ideology, simple. Meaning, we have no one to fight. We're not against Christianity. We're not against Judaism. They're simply a part of the Islam. And the truth is that they are Islam, only a bit distorted. We're more ancient. We're more established. We're stronger. We're a billion. Who can come against us? And this is a sign that the higher force is with us. And therefore, we're coming to you. And God forbid, we're not coming to kill you. Whoever's with us, he immediately becomes Muslim. And he is our brother in everything. Because Islam, it's not a nationality. It's the faith in a single God. And so, we're not coming at you with a sword. Our sword is a sign that this is our way to warn a person that he has to believe in one higher force, and therefore he has to think and repent. No problem. Please. They also say, among us, there are many Jews that today are Muslims. There is no reason why not. We accept everyone, and we want for the whole world to come under the flag of Islam. This is the Islam perception. Either we're all under the Muslim religion or under the sword. Yeah. Islam has to cover the world over. This is what they have. Whoever is in this direction, whoever is leading this, whoever is following this, deserves heaven, a special place after his death. Meaning there is a very big egoistic promise here that a person gets heaven and respect in this world and something great in the next world, and every moment, whenever he finishes his life, he has heaven, so he doesn't mind finishing life even now. It's like that person who was on hunger strike, and therefore it's all It's all working nicely. They're happy, they're confident of the situation, they have a majority everywhere, they're smart, they know how to change everything, how to aim people to be in favor of them in a way that they will be nice towards so that they will be nice towards them and the opposite towards us. Meaning, there's no reason for them not to succeed in what they're doing, because Judaism doesn't feel that something's standing in their way. Well, they don't feel that Judaism is something that's standing in their way. It's something small here in Israel. We'll finish it off with them later. We'll slaughter them, and that's that. And the world will look at it from afar and will be happy about it. And around the world, we'll expand gradually. We're not afraid of anything. And even if there are 1.5 billion Chinese people, we'll be able to change them. They have no religion. They have nothing. We'll come to them. And everywhere we will build our mosques. And everything's going to be fine. And the Chinese will do it very happily, because we will give them something which is progressive. They don't have this world, the next world, they have no such situation, they don't think about anything this way. And here, they will understand, will think about it. And also for all other nations, for all the other regions, and this is how Islam will spread all over the world, like Christianity spread around the world. Now it will be Islam, and they're sure that this is something that they can do. Now their problem is Europe and Africa. They're closing in around Israel, because the Europeans are also starting to be afraid and becoming more inclined towards them, and then it'll be Russia. Where in Russia, I don't know, there are 30-40% of the Russians are Arabs or Muslims. And of course, there they will have no problem. They'll have no problem to expand. They know how to work with the Russians. They know they're Russia. They're in Russia. They're everywhere. They're in the government and in education and in science. And the south of Russia are all the Muslim countries. And so, you know, what they have left is India and China. So, gradually, with China, it's no problem. India, it's a bit more problematic, but still, they know how to do it in a gradual way. They don't mind. It may take another 1,000 years, but this is how it's going to be, and everyone has a role. And then they live with shiny eyes, because they have a future. They have something in life. They have a mission. This is what gives them the strength, the goal, of course. And not only in this world, also in the next world. Also in the next world. They have a goal that's both in this world and also a promise for the next world. Yes, immediately, even if I didn't succeed in something, but I wanted to bring Muhammad to the top of the world. I want to introduce him this way. I want to raise the flag of Islam someplace, and I was killed that very moment. Doesn't matter. The next world is promised, one way or another, meaning I'm not afraid of anything. This approach is, a very, very successful approach in the framework of this world. There's nothing that can cope with it, and therefore it says a lot about it in the wisdom of Kabbalah, about what will happen at the end of times, that Islam will really rise, and the sons of Ishmael will rule the world, and they will wage wars against, first of all, against the Christians, and they will almost succeed in bending them, and then, together with the Christians, they will come against Israel. I think that, first of all, it's going to be ideologically. and it's already happening, and if we won't succeed in coping with them ideologically, because it's up to us, we have strength in ideology, we're stronger. If we take our true ideology that the wisdom of Kabbalah explains and unfolds everything, then yes, we can succeed. And if not, then only through great suffering, through horrific problems that there were, that we never did we have such in history. We will reach a state where eventually we'll succeed, but it's through very horrific states. And therefore the wisdom of Kabbalah is revealed and is giving us now the opportunity to fight them, but not on their level. We don't have to resist them. I don't have to start explaining something against them like a historian. What's really the difference between the ideologies, their and ours, the level on which we're talking? We're not getting with them into any war, into any discussion, neither with them nor with Christians. We only have to do our work to influence the entire general system of the worlds and our world through the upper system. And this is something that we can do if we unite, if we do what the Torah tells us to. To come from love of others to the love of the Creator, that we have to engage in love thy friend as thyself being the general rule of the whole of reality, then we can reach a state where we have no contact with them at all, but through the upper force we influence each and every person in the world. And then, like everyone says that we're to blame for all evil, we can reach a state where we will really be, so to speak, to blame for all the good. We can come to that because we really determine what is the world inclined towards, for better or for worse. This is something that we determine ourselves. If we hate, if we end the hatred between us, the distance between us, and we start engaging in connection, then we reach the positive forces that influence the entire world, and the whole world starts accepting, not knowing where it's coming from, that very same direction. Then all the knives and guns and everything falls out of the hands of the people. They don't want to use it. They want to use only the connection. And this is how we can aim the whole world, guide them. And it's all in our hands. And therefore, our ideology and their ideologies are on two completely different levels. We're working on a higher level through the force of nature, the force of good, which we are activating against the evil force, where nature altogether is evil, as it says, I have created the evil inclination, where we're all egoists, and we activate the good force. And this, and we influence the world in a way that the good force and bad force will be balanced through the so-called middle line. And by this, we bring the whole world truly to the good, nice state that the world will calm down and will rise to a higher dimension, meaning that our world will rise to the level of the upper world completely, the entire world. And this is how we'll change ourselves, how we'll change our senses, that instead of this world, we'll start feeling the upper reality, the next dimension. And it's all up to Israel, without collision, without any contact with other nations, opinions, religions, ideologies, nothing. As long as we're engaged in what we have to be engaged in. So what will give us this inner intensity, force that we identify on them so strongly now. On the one hand, the dissemination of the wisdom of Kabbalah, and on the other hand, the threat which we feel upon us from all sides. These are two forces that can operate us, and let's hope that we'll do it by the dissemination of the wisdom of Kabbalah, that this is what we'll advance with, and it will give us inner force. Yes, what kind? Connection. Why will the connection give us inner force? Because through our connection, we pull the whole world to connection, the entire general system. By this, we necessitate all the people to enter connection. All people are interconnected between them, and I'm the one that's holding, it's like you're holding a puppet on strings. I'm holding everyone by the strings, and then by connecting between us, above, the Jews, by this we either connect or push away all the people in the world. It's as simple as that. And therefore, we should be thinking about our future and the future of the world. And this is what the higher system necessitates us to do. The Torah necessitates us to do it. And love thy friend as thyself is the rule of the world, that by the Torah, that we have to realize through the Torah. Now, with all the wars, what ideology will rule the world? After everything, at the end, what ideology will win? Reciprocal connection as one man and one heart, where no one will feel himself, but everyone together as one. My opinion will extend to the extent that I'll feel everyone belonging to myself. I will feel everyone the way I feel myself today. This is an influence coming from above. This is how it will happen. I can't do it myself, but it will be done so from above, and unless we do it, we'll be forced to do it by troubles. Our time's up. Thank you very much, Rav Lightman. Thank you very much, Nitza. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.